I remember about 10 years ago, before I became a pastor, I was visiting a church for the first time. And I went to the church on Sunday morning for worship, and I walked into the sanctuary, and I found an open seat in one of the pews. And I sat there quietly and began to wait for worship to begin. When all of a sudden, I felt someone tap my shoulder. I turned around and I looked behind me and I saw a woman pleasantly smiling at me. I immediately assumed she was going to welcome me to church, but instead she said, "Excuse me, you're sitting in my seat." Now, this was not an official seat for a choir member or for a church leader. Instead, it was just a regular, normal seat that this woman had become so accustomed to using every Sunday morning that she felt it was her seat. Now, why do I share this story with you? Do I share this story with you because I believe that the woman was a bad person? No, I don't think that. She seemed very nice and very pleasant. Do I share this story with you because I was deeply offended and felt hurt in some way? No, not really. I got up and moved and sat in another seat and didn't really give it much thought. I share this story with you because there are some things in our life and in our church that become traditions and then rules. Things that we sort of get used to being in a certain way, and we don't think about why these traditions exist anymore, that they become hard, fast rules. And what our scripture points out today is that these rules can often become so harsh that they are manipulated and twisted away from their original meaning and begin to do harm to other people. As a pastor, I've had the opportunity to meet thousands of different people. And typically on Sunday morning worship, most of the people who are in church are Christians, regular churchgoers. But there are some events that bring non-Christians into the church, and it's always interesting to have conversations with them and get their different perspectives on the church. Now, most of the time, these non-Christians are very welcome and very happy to be there, happy to support whoever they're supporting, maybe at a wedding or maybe supporting someone who's grieving at a funeral. But every once in a while, I run into a type of person who almost comes into the church sort of sheepishly, sort of nervous and worried and afraid. I've even had some people make the joke to me that I thought the church roof was going to cave into me when I walked into church today. Almost the idea that God is waiting to smite them, and as soon as they walk into church, God's going to say, "Gotcha," like he's built the church to be a big mousetrap, and now they're trapped and God can punish them. You see, some people have this idea of the church or of Christians or even God that somehow they should be afraid or worried or nervous. Now, why did they get that idea? Where did that interpretation of God or the scriptures come from? Well, I believe it came from a certain point in their past, a time where they were exposed to Christianity, maybe through someone who had good intentions, but who had messed up the rules, who had started using the rules for the wrong reasons. Maybe they began to use the Bible or the scriptures to make this person feel guilty, to make them feel unwanted or unloved by God. And since that day or that moment, they've had this idea, this fearful and distant relationship between them and God. Well, the truth of the matter is, in Jesus' day, there was a religious group who often did the same thing. This religious group was known as the Pharisees. And the Pharisees were the religious leaders before Jesus arrived and began his ministry. And the Pharisees were a very legalistic group of people. They believed that the rules should be followed with complete and utter devotion. That to break a rule was not only an offense against them, but an offense against God. Now, rules in and of themselves are not bad things. In fact, rules are important things. That if we did not have rules, both in the scriptures, or in our daily lives, or in our society, there would be chaos. God puts the rules there for good reasons, but the rules are not there to follow the rules themselves. They are there to do good. Do good for ourselves and do good for other people. But Jesus would often butt head against the Pharisees in the interpretation of the rules, and that's what's happening in our scripture reading today. In our scripture reading today, Jesus breaks a rule around the Sabbath. Now, if you've ever studied the Ten Commandments, you know that one of the Ten Commandments is to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. That God, in the Old Testament, specifically says that we should set a day aside where we do no work, but instead we rest, relax, spend time with loved ones, and spend time reflecting on our relationship with God. Spend time worshiping God. That God wants us to work hard, but God also recognizes that it's important to take a rest, to reconnect with friends and families, and to worship Him. But the Pharisees had taken this rule and they completely manipulated it into something that God never intended. So much so that they called Jesus out incorrectly in what Him and His disciples are doing. It says first that Jesus was walking through a grain field with His disciples, and that they were hungry, and that they grabbed some grain from the grain field, mashed it up in their hands, and began to eat it. The Pharisees said, you can't do that. You can't pick grain on the Sabbath. You can't harvest on the Sabbath. Now, were they really harvesting? No. They weren't out there with their combines or their plows. They were simply grabbing a handful of grain. But again, the legalistic nature of the Pharisees said they were wrong. It goes on to say that Jesus went to teach in the synagogue. And again, the Pharisees were watching Him. And a man who was crippled, whose hands didn't work correctly anymore, begged Jesus for help. Jesus took compassion on the man and healed him. And they said, Jesus, no healing on the Sabbath. You are a healer and that's your job. You shouldn't do that. Well, Jesus clearly points out that God calls us to take a break from work, but not from compassion. To take a break from our jobs, but not take a break from loving others. You see, this scripture reading teaches us something very important. That as Christians, we need to be aware of who and what the rules are all about. Who the rules are really supposed to serve. And are our traditions becoming something that is a hindrance from us loving God and us from loving each other? When I was in high school and college, my summer job was to work at a pool. I first started out as a lifeguard and eventually worked my way up to being one of the managers of the pool. And it was something I was really proud of, being promoted to be a manager. And I remember the first time that I was in charge of the whole pool. You see, it was a very large pool, three different pools, one lap pool, one diving pool, and there was another pool that was called the baby pool. This was, of course, where the babies, the little kids, toddlers, swam. And one of the rules that the baby pool had was that no one over the age of 8 years old was supposed to swim in the baby pool. You see, this was a good rule because if you've ever been to a busy water park or a busy pool with a small child, you know what a chaotic experience it can be. I've taken both my boys to water parks before when they're very small, sometimes when they can't walk very well, and it's been very crowded, and it's kind of a dangerous experience. You see, because older kids aren't always as conscientious as they should be of the smaller children. Often there's a lot of pushing and shoving. If a small child is going up some steps to go down one of the water slides, an older child might feel like they're taking too long and push them out of the way, rush right past them and causing them to have an accident. So this rule that our pool had to not allow kids over the age of 8 years old was a very, very good rule. And I remember my first night being in charge of the pool. It was a kind of a cold and rainy day. There was hardly anyone in the pool at all. And there was a rule that, again, no one over the age of 8 could be in the pool. And I remember that there was two kids playing in the pool. I think they were like brother or sister or something. And one was about 6 years old and the other was 13 years old. Now, right away, my first instinct was to go out there and tell them, excuse me, no one over the age of 8 years old is allowed in this pool. And so I went out and did that. Again, I really wanted to make sure I was doing my job correct. Well, the mother saw this and she came up to me. She said, I noticed you told my older child that they couldn't play in the pool with my younger child. Is there any particular reason? And I said, yes, it's because, children over the age of 8 years old can't be in the pool. And she said, why not? Well, it's dangerous for the other kids. She looked at me and said, what other kids? In that moment, I realized that I was taking the rule and bending it and twisting it into something that it wasn't meant to be. See, we as Christians and we as individuals need to be aware that there are certain traditions, there are certain norms or rules of our behavior that sometimes become so ingrained in us that we think that things that are not absolute rules actually are absolute rules. But traditions are wonderful. Traditions are important, both inside and outside the church. But the problem is what happens when the tradition starts to become oppressive, not only to ourselves, but to other people. That the things that are supposed to bring people closer to God actually end up pushing them farther away from God. See, one of the things that I love about this church, Grace, is that it is such a welcoming place. It's a place where people of all different backgrounds can come and worship together because it's a church, it's a community that puts love of God and love of each other first and foremost. And there's the key. You see, as Christians, we have to ask ourselves 3 questions about the rules and traditions we have. And if it doesn't meet one of these 3 standards, then we should throw out the rule, then we should throw out the tradition. And the 3 standards are this. The first thing we have to ask ourselves is, does my rule or does my tradition bring me closer to God? The second thing we have to ask ourselves is, does my rule, does my tradition help someone else become closer to God? And the third and final thing we need to ask is, does my rule or my tradition help bring me closer to someone else? Closer to God, someone else closer to God, or closer to each other. All of our rules, all of our norms, all of our traditions, all of our practices should meet one of these 3 standards. And if they don't, well, then they're not something that God intended. Then we're doing it wrong and we need to re-examine our faith, our attitude, and our behavior. You see, Jesus was so incredible because before him, the tradition, the faith that was practiced was reserved only for a small group of people, only for a handful and limited number of people. But Jesus took this tradition that we find in the Old Testament and spread it and made it open to all sorts of people, of backgrounds, denominations, races. And we need to do the same thing. We need to constantly be exploring our faith in such a way that allows us to bring people closer to God, that allows us to create a community that is more open and welcoming and kind and loving. So may you look inside your heart. May you think about the things that you feel very strongly about. And may you have the courage and wisdom to examine them. To see, is this the way God intended this rule or attitude to be? And if not, drop it and pick something else. Remember the example of Jesus, that God calls us to follow the rules, but God never calls us to follow the rules in such a way that they harm other people. Let us pray. Holy God, we give you thanks for this opportunity to pause and reflect on our rules and our traditions. May we as Christians always be aware and always be conscious of the things you call us to do. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.